17, if you would. 1 Samuel 17, thanks for turning there with me. Please overcome all that food you just ate, amen? 1 Samuel 17, and also would you pick up 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17 and 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Remember, there were four, Saph, Lamni, Ishbibenam, and 6 and 6, amen? 6 toes, 6 fingers. Now, everybody here has heard the story of Goliath over and over again, and so I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I want you to pick out a couple things with me. I'm going to ask you a question, especially men that are missionaries or going out for the first time or even going out for the second or third time. And you know the story, and don't fall asleep just because you know the story. Goliath comes out 40 days and 40 nights, and he defies the armies of Israel and makes them afraid, and they're greatly dismayed. And David comes and he shows up. And in 1 Samuel 17, brethren, would you look at verse 26? And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistines and taketh away the," would you say the next word with me? Say it, reproach. Everybody say it, reproach from Israel. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I want you to notice verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those," say it, "few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Eliab, the eldest brother, says, "Yeah, what are you doing down here, little boy? Who's taking care of those few little sheep that you left down in their wilderness? That's your job, David. You're not supposed to be here." Verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done?" And he says the famous statement that I think we all ought to ponder once in a while. Say it with me, the next five words. Ready? "Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? And by the way, to David, brethren, the cause was not Goliath. The cause was that Goliath was defying God. The cause was that Goliath was standing up there and stopping the armies from doing what they were supposed to do. Yes or no? The cause was not the Goliath. The cause was the defilement of God. Now, he goes on down, and they tell Saul. They say, "Saul, hey, there's a guy down here, little boy, that young man that says he can take him." And David goes up, and verse 33. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So you've got his older brother, his family, not believing that he could do it. And you've got his leadership here, the one in over him, if you would, in the form of authority, saying, "Well, you can't do it either." Now, David retorts back a little bit. You know the story. And he relates to Saul about the lion and the bear and how God, if you would, used David to kill that lion and kill that bear. Verse 37, brethren, please look there. Verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered the Lord that delivered out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." Now Saul tries to put his armor on him and tries to have him do it his own way, but David's got another way planned. Now, if you would, look at verse 40. Verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in a script. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistines came and drew near unto David. You know the story. Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, man, he looks at David and he says, "You're just a young little boy. What are you? What am I, a dog, that you come out to use staves against me?" Look at verse 45. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistines, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." And then he says this, "whom thou hast defied." He says, "Now you know what, Goliath? You've defiled God. You've reproached God. You've stopped his armies. You've stopped his work. And my cause and my purpose is to get you out of the way so we can get the job done. And I'm not looking at myself. I'm looking at the fact that God can do it through me, and you're dead meat." Amen? Now hold your place right there in 1 Samuel and look, if you would, at 2 Chronicles, where you're holding. Look at 2 Chronicles 17. Stay with me. Are you with me? Yeah. Missionary wife, you need to go out of here with the right attitude. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And I want you to see a verse of scripture. Verse 6, brethren. Verse 6. This is talking about Jehoshaphat. Verse 6. And his heart was what?
lifted up. Now, wait a minute. Usually when we see that in the Bible, we think about pride. We think about Nebuchadnezzar or Uzziah or Herod. But look what he says. And his heart was lifted up in the what? In the ways of the Lord. What he's talking about there was Jehoshaphat had confidence that God could do it through him. Is that right? Yes or no? And if there's anything that needs to be, I can do all things. And the idea, well, my heart's lifted up, and we always think pride. Jehoshaphat's heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Go back to 1 Samuel 17 and find out David's heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. He knew through God he could accomplish it. He wasn't going to listen to his family. He wasn't listening to some leader over him. He said, listen, God has proven himself to me, and I can do it with God's help. And Goliath, you're about history. Now look, if you would, in verse 46. Verse 46 of 1 Samuel 17. Stay with me. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee. He tells him what he's going to do. And take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Please look up here, guys. It wasn't the fact that David wanted to be seen. It was the fact that David wanted God to be seen. Let me say it again. It wasn't that David wanted to be seen. It was that David wanted God to be seen. Let me say it again. It wasn't that David wanted to be seen. It was that David wanted God to be seen. Yes or no? And he said, listen, I'm going to take off your head, and everybody's going to know that there is a God in verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into mine hands. Look at verse 40. Please, look at verse 40. He took his staff in his hand and chose him what? Come on, chose him what? Five smooth stones. You know, I just want to ask you a question this morning. I want you to think about it, and as I think about it for myself. How many stones in your bag? We were to pull your bag out right now. Your little script bag for God. How many stones in there? You say, what are you asking? I'm asking you, what are your plans? What are your plans? You see, when David went down to the brook, please look up here, and he started looking at that thing, and he picked out one. Yeah, that one will do. But you know what? He just didn't stop there. Amen? He reamed down and picked up another and put it in his script bag and picked up another and put it in his script bag and picked up another and put it in his script bag. You know what? I think he probably filled the bag up. I wonder if he heard about those other four. You see, when David went to the brook to plan and prepare, he wasn't just thinking Goliath. He was thinking about accomplishing the whole job. Now, you know what? I appreciate missionaries when they come in and say, well, if there's just one over there that received Christ as Savior, it's worth my going. And I appreciate that. That's a good attitude. If it's one, it's worth going. Amen? Come on, if it's one, it's worth going. But there's another side to that attitude. You ought to not just plan for one. Amen? I mean, if all you're doing is going to plan for one, then don't tell us you're going to go over there and do something great for God if you're only planning for one. Because if there's more than one, then plan for all of them. Come on, amen. And when he reached down to that river, that little stream, he said, there's more than one. And there's a good possibility they'll come after me too. And I think I just better get ready for all of them. And please look up here. And I'm not going to listen to what my brother said about me. And I'm not going to listen to what Saul said about me. And I'm not going to listen to what that Goliath has been saying about me. I want to think about what God has done through me so far and what God can do through me in the future. Amen? You know what he was thinking about? That old lion thought he had me too, but God helped me. That old bear thought he had me too, but God helped me. Old Goliath thinks he's got me, but my heart's lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And not only am I going to get ready for Goliath, but I'm going to get ready for his family. Amen? I mean, guys, there has to be an among us as some confidence, not arrogance, but confidence in what God can do through us. And please look up here. When we're committed to the cause and believe in the cause, it goes far beyond just one stone. If we're not careful, here's what will happen. Somebody will come along and say something about us or to us or through someone else. And it'll make us think, you know what, maybe I ought not put so many bags in my stone, or stones in my bag. You know, maybe they're right. Maybe my family's right. Maybe, you know, that person that I consider a leader, maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. Maybe I'll just put a couple in there and just leave it at that. Maybe I'll look what God wants you to do and do what He wants you to do and forget about what everybody else is saying. Amen. If I listen to what everybody has said about me through the years, I know I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. Man, my family looked at me when I went to the mission field and they thought I was going to Waco. They thought I was going to drink Kool-Aid down in Guyana. Amen? They thought I was crazy, and they said so. I've had people in leadership over me saying, you're not able. I sit around the table when I took our church with 10 other pastors, and they said, Brother Fisher, you don't have the experience, you don't have the college, you don't have the longevity, you've never been this, and you've never been that, and you ought to just close the church down. I'm glad I didn't listen to them. And I'm not saying not to have some respect for authority, but brother, when God has shown you to do something, and you know for sure, and God's confirmed it, even though someone else can see it, you ought to go down to the brook and put your bag down there and fill your bag up with stones. And get ready to do something for God. And look at the thing and say, you know what? It's not me that's going to do it, it's God through me. I'm telling you, some of these men in here, you need to give your wife some confidence that you can get the job done. And you ladies, stop picking stones out of his bag. Amen. Don't listen to everybody at church. Wait, huh? Don't listen to everybody at church. You'd do better spending time fellowshipping with God than spending 3 hours on the parking lot. Amen. You know the story. David didn't want to do it Saul's way because he knew a better way. Saul said, here's my armor. He said, I have not proved this. I don't know if it's going to work for me. It might work for you, but it's not going to work for me. And you know the story, he went down there and slung that stone, and that thing, I like the word sunk. I love that word in there. It sunk. There's nothing like hearing a bullet hitting what you aim for. Some of you don't understand that, maybe, but I mean you aim and to hear it go thunk. Amen? And to watch that guy fall, and he ran over there and got his Goliath sword and chopped off his head and stood up. What? There was a cause. There was a purpose. Look, if you would, with me, and let's go a little bit further. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Stay with me. Are you okay this morning? 2 Samuel chapter 7. A lot of what you do, Ben, on the mission field will be determined by your attitude going out and how much you prepare and how much you get ready. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and 1 Chronicles 22. Come on, let's go. 2 Samuel 7 and 1 Chronicles 22. I'm talking about a mindset here. I'm talking about an attitude. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about being lifted up in the ways of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and 1 Chronicles 22. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, if you would, look at verse 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, the Lord had given him rest round about all his enemies. Please look up here just for a minute, men. Two phases of David's life, there's many phases, but two major. As a king. As a king, he conquered all the ites. Right? And then God gave him rest round about all his enemies. But his life wasn't over. So God said, I've got something else for you to do. You've accomplished the first phase. Now, I've got second phase. And second phase is what? Getting prepared to build the temple for his son Solomon. Is that right? First phase? Conquering. Second phase? He's going to get the temple ready to be built. Yes or no? It's like a new beginning. Verse 2. The king said unto Nathan the prophet, see, I have dwelt in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelt in curtains. And they said to the king, go do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. Now you know, Nathan comes back later and said, you got a bloody hands. You're a man of war. I'm not going to let you build the temple. God said, you're not going to build the temple, but David, you can prepare for it. Look, if you would, now in 2 Chronicles, please. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles.
First Chronicles chapter 22. Look, guys. First Chronicles 22. Verse number 3. And David prepared iron. What's the next two words? Say it. Underline it. For the nails, for the doors, the gates, and for the joints, and brass. What's the next two words? What? Hey, listen, the same attitude that he took when he went to Goliath and he put five smooth stones in the bag is the way he went after this temple. Amen? In abundance. Verse 4. And cedar trees, say it, in abundance. You, what do you mean? David knew what he was going to do, verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be, say it, exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. Why? For David? Never. For God. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared how? Say it. Abundantly before his death. I'm saying this to you. David had a job to do. He was supposed to go out and conquer the enemies. God gave him rest from that job. But God didn't say, now I'm finished with you. God said, now I want you to put your energy somewhere else. Now I want you to go do the second beginning, the second job I have for you to do. And with the same zeal David did the first job, he did the second job. He prepared in abundance. I want you to see verse 14. Look at it. Now, behold, what's the next three words? In my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, of brass, of iron without weight. For it is, say it, come on, in abundance. Timber also, the stone I prepared, and thou mayest say, add thereunto, verse 15. Moreover, there are workmen, and thee, with thee, say it, in abundance. Not only did he get the materials together, but he got the laborers together. Verse 15. He says, not only do you have stones in abundance and timber in abundance and gold in abundance and all these things, now you've got workers in abundance. It's all ready to go. Verse 14. But he says, I did all this in my trouble. You know what a lot of missionaries do? Well, if you just knew what I was going through, you'd understand. You just knew the trouble I had, you'd understand. Everybody's got trouble. A man's born into trouble. The sparks fly. Come on. Well, if you just knew the trouble, if you just knew the extent of it. Hey, I don't know the extent of it, but you don't know the extent of mine either. And you don't know the extent of the next guy. But I tell you this, David, even in his trouble, prepared in abundance to do something for God. Statement. First time out, first adventure for the Lord, David had his problems. No doubt about it. I mean, if I remember correctly, if we went back, he had problems with Saul. Yes or no? Come on. And he had problems with Abner, Saul's uncle and the captain of his host. Yes or no? And he had problems with Doeg the Edomite. Amen? And he had problems with the men, his own men down at Ziklag. They just wanted to stone him is all. Come on, amen? He had problems with a lot of people along the way. But he went ahead and did it anyways. Now I'm going to make a statement. The second time around, after he had conquered all the ites, and now God said, now I want you to go out and get ready to build my temple, for your son's going to build it. May I say this to you? He had more trouble. Hey, if you're a first-time missionary in here, you got trouble. If you're going out the second or third time, you got more trouble. Some of it you created yourself. Now, maybe it wasn't Bathsheba like David did. And maybe you didn't kill Uriah the Hittite, but you got some trouble you created yourself. Amen? But that shouldn't stop you. And by the way, the trouble gets bigger. Because when David's preparing for this temple, he's got Absalom to deal with. He's got Ahithophel to deal with. He's got Joab to deal with. Come on, yes or no? He's got Abiathar who turns on him. He's got Adonijah. He's got all kinds of trouble. He's got Shimei. He's got bigger trouble than he's ever had before, but in his trouble, he keeps going. He numbers the people when it wasn't right. I mean, he made some mistakes and he did some failures. But I'm telling you, if it's not your first time out, you say, oh, my first time has been so much trouble. I don't know if I can do it a second time. Mark it down. Your trouble is going to get greater. But God's grace is greater when the trouble gets greater. If we'll let it. If our hearts lifted up in the ways of the Lord and the power of God comes on us, if David can make it through Bathsheba and David can make it through Uriah and David can make it through all the problems he had with Absalom and Ahithophel and Shimei and Joab, can we do it? You say, oh, you're just trying to motivate us. That's right. I'm trying to motivate us through the Word of God to say, if David can do it, our attitude ought to be, I've got more stones in my bag than ever before. I'm going to prepare in abundance and I'm going to do something for God no matter what somebody says. This attitude of, well, you know, we got one or two and I'm satisfied. If there were only one or two there, then you can be satisfied. But if there's 50,000, I wouldn't be satisfied. Our church is about 1,400 now. And you may say, that's big. Not when there's 2 million people in the city. So you look at it your way, I'll look at it mine. You think that might be big? Not compared to 2 million. 2 million. We haven't even hit doors in some of the cities yet. And they move in and they move out. We just had the Republican National Convention in our city. We passed out 15,000 tracts in 5 days. We just had a deaf revival. We just had a prison revival. And I'm not saying, you know what? Somebody says, oh, you're doing much. I'm not doing enough yet. You say, well, you must not have any trouble. Are you kidding? We got over 40 ministries. You don't think they have a little friction once in a while? Anytime there's movement, there's friction. Do something for God, there's friction. I got all kinds of trouble. But brethren, the trouble is not greater than the cause. The trouble is not greater than the purpose. The trouble is not greater than the reason. Amen. We all get down once in a while. We all start looking at the trouble too much sometimes. We all start listening to people too much sometimes. But I'm telling you, missionary, your attitude ought to be, if God be for me, who can be against me? Let no man despise thy youth. And if you've been out in the field already and you're back and you're going out for the second or the third time, I'll guarantee you the brethren has turned on you. Churches have turned on you. People close in have turned on you. Judas has betrayed you. But that shouldn't stop you. Are you getting the message? I mean, it's an attitude. It's a mindset. Because if we sit down here and twiddle our thumbs and say, I just don't think you can use me. God tries to push us a little bit with compassion and kick us a little bit and say, come on, you can do it. Let's get going. A message like this or whatever. But if you just want to sit there and slobber all over yourself, he'll let you. Amen. Because you have a free will. And so do I. Now, I know this. You wouldn't be here unless you were preparing to do something. Unless you're required to be here, and that's the only reason you're here. Let me say that one more time. Unless you're required to be here, that's the only reason you're here. You should have come here with the attitude, I need to get fired up again, get ready to go. I need to get some stones in my bag. Somebody's been taking them out, or somebody's been causing me not to want to put them in. And part of that somebody is self. My greatest enemy is self. Amen. So is yours. But greater is he that is in you. You see, I got to forget about self, and I got to say, wait a minute, God's in me, and the book that I read says he wants to do something through me. Bar none, period. Say, you're almost talking about just a mindset. That's right. It's called faith. Faith is an attitude. Come on. Faith is an attitude. Let me say it again. Faith is an attitude. You know what David's attitude was down there at the stream? Faith. Let's see. Heard about Ishbosheth. heard about Saph. They talked about a guy named Lamni. And I don't know who six toes and six fingers is, but that'll take care of him. And Goliath, I got a special one for you. And that one's going right up near the top of the bag because I'm pulling that one out first. And don't you think David had practiced this before? Look up here. I'll guarantee you he had practiced running, pulling the rock out of his bag, putting it into the sling, and making it go thunk in the target. Amen? It wasn't stationary warfare. It was moving with practice, and if you would, his body knew what to do, his mind knew what to do, and he ran after Goliath. And on the run, with confidence, with practice, with knowing that God had done it before, not saying, what will they think of me? But this guy defied God. And he's holding up progress. And I'm taking him out. Amen? Two more scriptures. Look at with me. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. Come on. I'm watching my time. I got 5 minutes. 1 Chronicles 29. 2 Kings 13. Stay with me. 1 Chronicles 29. 2 Kings 13. Everybody okay? Don't be Christians on me, amen? Slow bellies, come on. 1 Chronicles 29. Look at verse 1. Furthermore, 1 Chronicles 29, 1. The king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender. The work is great. For the palace is not for man. The work we're doing, brethren, is not for men. The second time you go out, guys, it's not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, I have what? Say it. Come on, say it again. Prepared. When he went down to the stream, he was prepared. He said, now I have prepared. How? With all my might. I gave it all I had in my preparation. I planned to do something for God. It wasn't wrong for me to be lifted up in the ways of the Lord. It wasn't wrong in my planning to think great things for God. I prepared with all my might. Look at 2 Kings, and I finish, 13. 2 Kings 13. Are you getting it? Come on. 2 Kings 13. I've already decided whether you get it or not, I'm preaching to myself, amen? That's the best way to come to the pulpit, guys, if you preach. Just preach to yourself with all your might, amen? Nobody else gets it. We need it. Look at 2 Kings 13. Look at it. Verse 15, Elisha said unto him, he talks to King Joash here. Elisha's about ready to die. He says unto him, the king, take bow and arrows. He took unto him bow and arrows. He said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hand. Please look up here. So here's Joash. He's got the bow. The prophet comes around and puts his hands on the king's hand. And he says, all right, let's shoot together. And they shoot together out the window. And he shot and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. So they did that one together. Verse 18. And he said, take the arrows. Hey, Joash, take all the arrows now. Now you're on your own. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. Look what Joash did. He smote how many times? Three times. And what? And stopped. Now he was on his own. And he broke three arrows and he stopped. The problem was, he didn't break all the arrows. And the man of God was wroth with him. And said, thou should have smitten five or six times. Hey, please look up here, missionary. Your church can get you ready to go. There can be a lot of churches behind you. Your pastor can get you ready to go. But when you get out there, you're on your own, big boy. He can stand and say, let's shoot together. Let's ordain you. Let's get you ready to go. Let's help you. But when you leave and you're on the field and God says, now, here's your bag of arrows, don't just do half of them and stop. You're on your own. Because if you don't just do half of them and stop, the Bible says the man of God was wroth. Hey, if I remember correctly, the one who had 5 talents gained 5 more. The one who had 2 gained 2 more, according to their several ability. But one hit his away. All you've got to do is take what you have and use it to your full potential. But if you get out by yourself, well, they're not writing me letters. You mean God forsook you? Well, this church stopped supporting me. You mean God forsook you? Come on, talk to me. You see, we back here in the States have it so cushy, don't we? We've got the same God you've got. You say, there you almost. Yeah, I'm saying it's time for our missionaries to grow up. First time, second time, third time, and look at this book and say, you know what? You don't understand Ahithophel and Absalom and Joab. You don't understand we've got the same trouble you got. But we've also got the same God you have. I have finished my what? Course. That's what he wants. Oh, but preacher, I blew it. I blew it. I did this or I did that. And David committed adultery. Oh, but you don't know. You don't know. And David killed Uriah the Hittite. Oh, but you don't know. My pastor turned on me. And so did Joab. And Ahithophel. And Shimei. And David said, in my trouble, I prepared. How? Abundantly with all my might. You don't understand, I numbered the people and I caused a lot of people to be hurt. Yeah, David killed a few thousand himself. Amen? Now why would God put this in here if he didn't want us to read it? I'm not saying once in a while a little brokenness through humility or chastisement isn't of God. I know all that. You'll get plenty of that here. I'm trying to give you the positive side and say you can through Christ. Is there not a cause, and isn't the cause greater than all our mistakes and all our failures and all those who portrayed us? Men, how many stones in your bag? Who's been taking them out? Who you been listening to? You been listening to self again? You better head to the creek. And let God fill up your bag. You've been listening to that leader again? You've been listening to that family again? Don't take this wrong. You've been listening to your wife again? Now the wife's in here, I hope. You know what you need to do sometimes? You need to hit an altar and say, wife, let you and I change our attitude. Together. I've been poisoning you and you've been poisoning me. And that's not what we put together to do. You say, well, she's not here. Sir, it'd be good for you to hit a river. And say, God, I made a lot of mistakes. But if you'll let me and you'll give me those arrows again, I'll break them all. I'll break every one of them. Or I'll die trying. And that's all you can do. Is die trying. But don't die rusted out. Die burnout. I don't want to burn out. I do. Burn it up all the way. I tell you this, I've learned this. Burn everything you got and God will give you more. Burn the energy you have and God will give you more energy. Burn the wisdom you have and God will give you more energy. Use everything you got and God will keep it coming. Why? Because he took the one from the one who didn't use it and gave it to the ten. He'll keep giving you if you'll keep doing. Let's all stand. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, we've got a few minutes. You've listened to a lot of preaching already. I'm talking to some men in here and some women. And maybe you say, I don't want to go to the altar. Hey, you know what? When we were church members, we did. And now that we're in leadership, we kind of shy away from it. I'm talking to some men who need to come and put some stones in their bag. I'm talking about some ladies that need to come and say, husband, I want to put some stones back in your bag again. I'm talking to some men today, and some are coming. Come on. Come on. I'm talking about some men who are going back for the second and the third time. I'm talking about some pastors in here like me who we've got our trouble.
or we've got our second job to do now. I'm talking about we've been listening to too many people. It's our family. It's our leadership. It's this. It's that. It's ourselves. And I'm saying to you, we better go prepare to do more for God. Our life isn't over. God's got more for us to do. Come. If the Holy Spirit moves you, come. And don't worry about, you say, I already came today. Well, come again. Or maybe right where you're at, it wouldn't hurt to bow your knee at your pew and say, oh God, I got to get a mindset and attitude to prepare. And I'm down right now and I'm dejected, but Lord, David's been there too and you helped him. Now you can help me. I know you can. How many stones in your bag? Has to do with how much potential do you think you have left, and how able and willing is God to help you reach that potential. And I believe with all my heart that He's not done with you in here today, or you wouldn't be here this morning. If you'd like to just bow your heads right where you're at, I'm going to ask you to do this too just before I close. Every one of us has a pastor that we should pray for right now. If you're a member of a church or you know a pastor, it would be good for you to bow your heads right now or get your knee down and say, Lord, I know a pastor that's discouraged. I know a pastor that feels like some rocks has been taken out of his bag. I know a pastor that has made maybe a mistake himself, or others have made mistakes around him, or I don't know the story and the situation that you know at your church, but you know somebody right now as a leader that needs your prayers. God, would you help that man to go back to the river and pick up some stones? You say, I expended all my stones, then go back a second time like David had an opportunity again to do something else for God. And don't be surprised when there's just five sitting on the bank down there and all you're going to do is pick them up. God just put them down there for you. He said, I'm not done with you yet. A couple years back, I thought, man, I'm losing it. But it was just a humility process for God to get ready for me to do something else for Him. Please take your time this morning. Please. I beg of you. Is there not a cause? And isn't the cause greater than the trouble and the failures? Let God take it out of the way so you can accomplish His purpose. And then don't be surprised when you're down there and you hold that head up that others follow you. I'll say it again. Don't be surprised when you're down there and you chop that head off and you hold it up and they see you overcome if others don't follow you. The armies of Israel got excited that day. And they charged. After 40 days of being defied, they charged. And they overtook the armies of the Philistines. And they won that battle. Because a man said, is there not a cause? And acted upon it. If you're finished praying, just be seated.
For those of you that are...